Support for WYPR comes from the Park School of Baltimore's Saturday morning Rise and Shine activity sessions for children 3 to 5 years of age. Nature expedition through the Park School woods is April 20th. parkschool.net/shine.
I had two employees, my mother, and occasionally my best friend Diane Zimmerman from down the street, when she had time, would come and help out.
It was called a djinn, which, if you don't know, it's an Arabian spirit. It's a kind of like a fire spirit or a dust spirit. Imagine a dust devil, but with personality.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the Stoop Storytelling Series podcast. I'm Laura Wexler.
And I'm Jessica Hankin. And this week on the podcast, Make Believe, we have two stories about the pleasures and perils of fantasies.
Before we get started, we want to thank Park School of Baltimore, which is an independent co-ed progressive K-12 school in North Baltimore.
So this first storyteller, Shauna Renee, told this story last spring.
It was the show we did about working in restaurants.
Was it?
Yeah. Yes.
Oh, because it was the Louis bookstore.
Yes, that's right. Yes. We did a restaurant show in partnership with Baltimore Magazine and Creative Alliance. It was about working in restaurants or eating in restaurants, anything to do with restaurants.
Gosh, my brain is just so bad that I could not remember that until
I'm surprised you didn't, because you love restaurants.
I do. It's
Can you share why you love restaurants?
I love restaurants. I think many of our longtime listeners know the story. It's because I was basically abandoned at the age of 11, but in a way that was super, kind of high-end abandonment, because my mom went to rehab for alcoholism and is sober to this day, so good on her.
Yes.
But was in a halfway house for a year in Laurel. I went to live with my dad, who is a great man, but at the time just did not have what it took to be a father to, I was like 12.
Wow.
So he would, and we lived downtown Annapolis, and so he would go and spend time with his lady friends, and then he would have tabs for me in restaurants in Annapolis. So I would eat by myself, often after school with homework.
And never worry about the price.
Yeah.
That's how
yeah.
I can tell when I go out to dinner with you. I'm like, oh, yeah, she never looks at the price.
It doesn't even occur. So anyway, I've actually been training myself out of this habit at the age of, I shit you not, 40 freaking five, that I'm like, oh, I probably need to stop eating at restaurants. It's been very sad for me.
But what I love, you fall in love with restaurants. You have love affairs with them,
yep.
And then you fall out or
Then we're all done.
Yeah.
The biggest heartbreak was Nawana.
Yeah.
That's been hard to watch that happen. Anyway.
Okay, so that's Jessica on restaurants. So this first story this was such a great take on the theme, and she's so fun to listen to, so check it out.
When I was about 7 years old, I told my mother that I wanted to be a waitress. Actually, I wanted to be an actress, but I think I'd heard somewhere that, like, every actress has to first be a waitress. So I said I wanted to be a waitress. My mother said, well, why not own a restaurant? Why not consider being a restaurateur? So at 7 years old, I was like, yeah, I'm going to be a restaurateur. So my mother, for my 8th birthday, bought me a restaurant. It was a very small little establishment. We had 2 tables. It had the red and white checkerboard tablecloths with the little artificial flowers on it. It was very cute. It was a cash-only establishment. This was the early 80s, and, you know, taking credit cards wasn't really practical at that time. Small plates. We served bologna and cheese sandwiches, cheese and crackers. We did serve breakfast, cereal. And I had 2 employees, my mother, and occasionally my best friend Diane Zimmerman from down the street, when she had time, would come and help out. So we ended up opening the weekend after my 8th birthday. And we kept very short hours. It was just like Saturday from 12, which was like when the cartoons went off, until about 5. And then Sunday from like 1 after church until about 4, which was when supper was. So, you know, you had to get in when you could get in. So as I say, after the first week of my 8th birthday, we opened the restaurant and no one shows up. And I was really very disappointed. So like week after week after week, no one shows up. So I think to myself, okay, what do we need here? I was like, we need a marketing and promotions plan. So I invite my employee slash best friend, Diane, over. We get some construction paper and markers, and we make flyers. Shauna's restaurant, the address, the hours, and then in big, bold letters at the bottom, good food. And then we put a bunch of stickers on them. We fold them up. We had maybe about 20 of them. So we walk up and down the block, and we pass these flyers out. And I think we may have done some around the block. I mean, we tried to cover all our bases. And the next weekend, I'm certain people are going to show up, but no one shows up. So I'm like, okay, we need to reevaluate this. So I said, okay, I think we need like some kind of incentive. So I get my construction paper, my markers, Shauna's restaurant, the address, when we're open, at the bottom in big bold letters, free food. Put some stickers on it, fold them up, and walk them all up and down the block, around the corner, in the neighborhood. We're covering all of our bases. So the following Saturday, it's about maybe 10 o'clock. I'm in the den watching television cartoons, no doubt, with a bowl of cereal in my lap. My mother's in the kitchen making breakfast, probably. And then all of a sudden, there's like this knock on the door. Bang, 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 bang. And so my mother goes to the front door. She opens the door. And it's my neighbor from around the block, Mr. Jablonski. And he's got a handful of flyers. Do you have a permit for this? Now, here's the thing. I thought it not necessary to bother my mother with my marketing and promotions plan information, right? So she had no idea what this was about. So she says, I'm sorry, I don't know what you're talking about. And he hands her the flyers or kind of halfway throws them at her. And she opens them up and she gives me this look. And I'm like, oh, shit. Like in my 8-year-old, I'm like, oh, shit, I'm in trouble. So she says, well, sorry, Mr. Jablonski. See, here's the thing. Sean had expressed some interest in owning a restaurant, so I went to the restaurant supply store and bought her like some restaurant paraphernalia so she could open up a little imaginary restaurant in the basement, and she kind of got carried away. But if you like, you could come in and have breakfast with us. So I'm thinking he's going to be like, hell no, I'm not eating breakfast. He was like, sure, I'll come in. So Mr. Jablonski comes in, sits down for breakfast. I'm sure my mother was like a health nut. We were probably having like, you know, cantaloupe and oatmeal or something. But he comes in, and so my mom's like, well, since you want to own a restaurant, why don't you serve Mr. Jablonski? So I begrudgingly served Mr. Jablonski his fruit and oatmeal. And he ate, and it was just like the most awkward, like I don't remember much about what was said. I just remember like it was the most awkward 20 minutes of my entire 8-year-old life. And finally, it's over, and my mom walks him to the door, and she says, look, while I walk him to the door, I want you to just go ahead and clean up. And so he gets up and shoots me this very disapproving look, and I clean up, and I pick up the plate. And there's a $5 bill under the plate. I was like, ah, my first tip. And to be perfectly honest with you, like it was that gave me like the confidence to eventually become a waitress. Like I waitressed all throughout college, like at Fridays and, you know. So I just want to thank Mr. Jablonski for just giving me that little bit. Thank you.
So when we were listening to the story as people at the show that night, I was so worried that the man was going to be mean to her, you know, and you just felt like so protective. And that was such a wonderful triumphant
ending. And she
ending.
Was so damn happy with that tip. Yeah. And she said it gave me the confidence to waitress in restaurants. And I'm like, yeah. Waitressing, it does take a lot of calm. Oh, my God. I was a good waitress. I really was.
Oh, I believe that.
I'm good. I mean, like, I'm good at the multitasking.
Yeah, I believe that you were very good at
that. And being nice to people. And also deciding who the right people's plates to eat off of when you take it back to the kitchen.
Speaking of which, if you want to think of your waitress or waiter doing that,
there you
can go to the Golden West, where they're going to do so in the hippest outfits you've ever seen.
Yes.
If you wanted to learn what's fashionable, that in like four seasons from now, go to Golden West.
Yeah, that's right.
So they've been around in Hampton since 1997. They are a New Mexican tradition style restaurant with many vegan friendly options.
And if you also want to know more about restaurants opening, closing, all the good stuff in town, you can check out Local Flavor Live, which is Baltimore Magazine's weekly podcast about the food news and dining scene. And you can also check out BaltimoreMagazine.com for all kinds of stories about the city. Okay, this first story was a make-believe story that was sweet and joyful and harmless. This next story is... complicated. This is a lovely guy named Eric Schaefer. And I want to just say a little bit about how Eric Schaefer and I came to cross paths, which is that I engineered us to be crossing paths by going on meetup.com and finding a group for ex-cult members in Baltimore and writing the group leader and saying, I'm looking for somebody who's left a cult that would like to share a story about that. And Eric reached out to me, and we had several of the most interesting and lengthy phone conversations I've ever had in my life, where he explained to me what a djinn was, and that's D-J-I-N-N, and really invited me into the world of, like the neo-pagan world, and of cults and Wicca covens and all of that. And he agreed to come and share his story at the show we did this summer about secrets and lies. And as you'll hear, it was not an easy story for him to tell. He was afraid that people would think he was really weird. And it's true that the events that he talks about are odd, but the feelings are really understandable and really relatable. I'm so happy that something that started with just me randomly trying to connect with someone on their internet ended with Eric standing on our stage sharing his tale. Take a listen.
So, you know, I wanted to tell you a very personal story. So, you know, I should be in therapy, but like an idiot, I'm going to tell it here. So, this story begins when I was in high school, and I was in a very conservative private school. It was a Presbyterian high school. And it really drilled into you, like, the typical masculinity, the very typical, like, you have to get a girlfriend, you have to get a romance, like, when you were young. And so I prayed to basically God for this every day for years until one day it just dawned on me that God wasn't going to give it to me. So I stopped praying. And I just kind of gave up on God after that, because what kind of God doesn't give you the things you think you want or need? And that's when I turned to a belief system called neo-paganism, which, if you don't know, is like a new age religion where they try to reform some of the older European Celtic religions or like Nordic religions. And that's when I started learning about things like spell casting and creating spells and spirits and things like that. And that's when I began to become very invested in it, because when I was young, I was always interested in like real kind of like witchcraft spells and magic. And I've always personally took a liking to it. And when I left Christianity, it was a chance for me to really look into that. And that's when I found a site where you could buy spirits that were bound to items. and I purchased a specific spirit. It was called a djinn, which, if you don't know, it's an Arabian spirit. It's a kind of like a fire spirit or a dust spirit. Imagine a dust devil, but with personality. So I ordered it with a yellow ore, because there are different kinds of ores you could get with this particular seller. And I got a yellow ore, which was for kindness and loyalty, which was the major attributes of this particular spirit. And that night when I ordered that spirit, which was that morning, because it was Christmas morning that night, that day, and I had a dream about this spirit. And this, it was like an old West saloon kind of place, where I walked up to this old man at the saloon, and he asked me what I really wanted. And I was going to say I wanted true love, but instead I said I want my djinn companion to be real. Then I woke up in a cold sweat, and like a presence near me. I couldn't move for a little bit, and then I started moving, and I felt a leg next to my bed, like an actual human leg that wasn't there, warm to the touch and everything. So if people believe in spirits and things like that, I can understand why I've had those kinds of experiences. And so that was my first encounter with her. And from there, she really helped me get a better grip on my life. I started being kinder to people. She showed me ways to be kinder to people and to be happier and healthier. Helped me with my weight and with my attitude towards people. Because I used to be a very bitter person when I was younger. And she helped me be a lot kinder. She helped me grow mentally, and she helped me get into a little bit better shape, I'm going to be honest. So this goes on for about 2 years in my life. And it started getting unhealthy, where I'd start withdrawing from people in society and spending more times with these spirits rather than with actual people. And that's around the time when the doubts started creeping in about whether or not this was real. So I started doing actual, real, honest research. And that's when I found that the science doesn't support the magic. I know, shocker, right? There was a YouTube video that I watched where basically this dude goes through every single argument, because this one paper went and did every argument that a pseudoscientist would ever possibly put on the internet, including like creationism, ESP, everything. He does every crackpot argument. And the guy and this physicist goes through it and just breaks it down one by one to the point where it was just like I could no longer believe anymore. And that's when I cried, because I couldn't believe anymore. I realized I outgrew a friend, even if she wasn't real. And I didn't know what to do. Eventually, after a few months, it got better. And I realized that the truth really did set me free. I could finally be my own person, no longer bound by the expectations of others, or even the expectations of who I was. It was weird, because in a way, it helped me, but I would never recommend this for anybody, because it very much was a scam, but it was a scam that helped me. I don't get it, I don't understand it, but it helped. And that was really, it was really interesting. And help me get my life back on track. Yeah.
I can feel it like a breath on skin.
No, Eric, that's such as he. The audience just wanted so much to kind of hold him after that story.
Yeah, and I, you know what? I think he said something really profound, which which I think in some ways we can all relate to, which is the idea that I know it wasn't real, and yet it helped me.
Yeah.
There are lots of things that we know are not good or not ultimately
probiotics.
The right answer.
Probiotics,
yeah, but they help me. Yeah, they help me. Yes, probiotics. Jessica's medicine show. Anyway, so
lots of supplements.
That's Eric Schaefer. Before we sign off, we want to thank The Wine Source, located at 3601 Elm Avenue in Hamden. They've been a great sponsor of the Stoop podcast. We want to thank Maureen Harvey, who is a great producer of the Stoop podcast. We'd love for you to leave us a review at Apple Podcasts or check out stoopstorytelling.com to find out about all of our live shows, of which we have one almost every month. We'd love to have you come out. And we'll see you back here next week at the Stoop.
Stay safe.